Okay.
All right. Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Or, sorry, Eastern, yeah, Daylight Savings Time. Here, this is the Fakeologist speaking to you for the North Shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I'm going to welcome my guest right away, not waste a minute of her time. It's Northern Tracy, who is could easily be one of my favorite guests of all time because she can boil the germ theory down in seconds to understandable common sense. And if everyone knew this information or accepted it, we wouldn't be in this complete tyrannical dictatorship right now. So welcome, Northern Tracy.
Hi. Glad to be back.
Yeah. You can come back anytime. Anytime you have info. I don't really have any regular guests, but because I really want to stay focused on vaccines, the germ theory, because if we can tell at least a couple extra people about this, then it can help unravel this whole dictatorship, I think.
Right. That's my feeling too. That's why I've been doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. This is a media fakery blog, but unfortunately, we're in the middle of a communist communitarian takeover right now, so it's not really time to speculate on how JFK was or was not killed or whether 3,000 people weren't killed on 9/11. That, as much as I don't mind talking about it, it's sort of old hat, old news right this second because we're in the middle of potentially losing our ability to speak, communicate, because I think I'm being told that what we're engaging in is hate speech, apparently, or will be.
Yeah. I've got some fake news for you as well. I know you like fake news.
Well, yeah. Just to that point of losing our ability to speak, because I think in Canada we've passed a law that I don't exact. We passed so many laws in the last few months, and I don't even know if they. I guess they were passed with parliamentary approval. I don't know. I can't tell the difference between a law that's passed in the legislature and a diktat because they're both going.
Laws for a start.
No, I know, but this is anytime we have a bill, it's called Bill C something, depending on what it is. And so it's Bill C something, which means it went through the legislature. But all the mandates are just dictates, I know.
Yeah, we call them statutes and acts here.
Yeah, same as us. You're under the British parliamentary system too, aren't you?
In Ireland, not so much, but it's all, okay. Yeah, it's all the same thing. It's all the same rules, but none of them are laws. And even the ones that they've put through during COVID are even less. They're not even rules because they haven't put them through Parliament properly like they should. They haven't had them voted on like they always have to.
Yeah.
They've just put them through under the emergency emergency rules.
Right. Yeah.
And
same here.
It's not an emergency. There is no emergency.
No.
That was nullified by the WHO on March the 13th of 2020.
Okay.
They said no emergency, that COVID is a disease of low consequence.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, on 3/11, they said this can be characterized as a pandemic. So they didn't say it was. They said it was characterized as, which is it's not semantics. They craft words on purpose. So they're just saying it could be characterized as one. But of course, why didn't you just say it was one? It's not a pandemic. So
yeah, because they changed the definition of a pandemic a couple of years previously.
Yes,
because it used to be that it had to have a certain number of deaths and it had to be in more than one country for it to be a pandemic. But then they changed it to you didn't even have to have one death. So
right.
They completely just changed the meaning of the word pandemic.
Every word that's associated with this has been changed. Even a vaccine, their original definition has changed.
Yeah, that's true. That's changed about three times over the course of the last 100 years, though.
Mm-hmm. But more recently, I think it was just updated in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically, and don't forget what else changes all the time. The science changes. The science evolves. The science is a spinning ball.
No, the science doesn't change. The goalposts just move.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But they do use that idea that science evolves. I've heard that. They've used all kinds of words that basically say
the science is never settled. Mm-hmm. That is true. It should never be settled.
Well, what unless 97% of all scientists agree? That's another thing.
Consensus isn't science, and science isn't consensus.
I know. I'm just throwing you all the lines they give us. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
And I'm throwing you all the quotes that I've used in my articles.
it's a joke. But you know what? The problem is if the general masses accept it, then that's that we're in trouble. What Waterman Chris says, what's up, fellow thought criminals? Yeah, that's funny.
So anyway, I told you I've got some fake news for you.
Oh, yeah,
did
go.
You want to hear the fake
yeah, news? Yeah.
It's news in Ireland.
Okay.
Which they've sort of absorbed from the UK, that people are getting spiked in nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed last night when I was going to tell you that they've used the word spike in there, which I think is quite funny as well. But this whole story is that some people are going around, and you know how they used to spike your drinks or
yes.
rape you on your way home?
Yes, yes.
Well, now they've taken to using hypodermic needles to inject and spike you, which is ridiculous. It's such a big fat lie. And then, so I showed it to my friend who likes to do fact checking. She's a trained journalist, but she doesn't do journal anymore. But she looked into it and she said, oh, right, I've looked into it. And apparently it is fake news because the police have come forward and said that no one has actually reported being spiked in a nightclub recently. It's completely made up because on the 22nd of October in Ireland was supposed to be Freedom Day, which meant all the COVID restrictions were going to be dropped. That was the original plan. But obviously, it's not for the unvaccinated. It's only the vaccinated that will have the freedoms back. But the nightclubs opened, and so all these young kids are going out clubbing, and they can't have people having fun. That's just not on. And today there was another news story about they were thinking of closing the clubs again, because the cases have gone up.
I'm looking at the Irish news, 3 November 20. Well, this story is from 19 October. And this lovely Justice Minister, Naomi Long, says Minister asked to review law after claims 5 people had drinks spiked in Derry bar. So that's not an injection spike. That's just...
No, they were talking about injections. It was a girl on TikTok, and she looked like a robot.
Right.
I watched her video on it. It looked very acty, and she looked like a robot. She didn't have any lines. She didn't even have any eyelids. It was really strange. But that was supposedly what kicked it off.
Is this in Northern Ireland as well? Or is it because this is a story from Northern Ireland?
Mm-hmm. They're talking about it in all of Ireland.
Right.
It was on, I can't remember what news site it was. I'd have to go on my Facebook and look.
Priti Patel's intervention comes after police in Nottingham have arrested a 20-year-old man as part of an investigation following social media reports of women being injected with needles in the past fortnight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no...
But if they were giving COVID injections, then that would probably be okay.
Oh, yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah. Well, why don't they just put on a smock and a lanyard that says, for your safety, free COVID injections, and, you know, maybe these girls are getting mixed up after having a few drinks. Maybe they're signing up for some COVID medicine.
Well, that's just too much of a brilliant idea for anyone to have thought of it in Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what do you think the purpose of this fake story is? Because you brought it to me as a fake story, and I always try and figure out what is the purpose of it.
It has a couple of purposes.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think, is to scare mm-hmm. the kids.
Right.
To stop them going out clubbing.
Right.
Keep them apart, because if you're not standing near anybody, they can't jab you.
Right.
And also to get them the nightclubs shut down again.
Mm-hmm. We need to get these children into the metasphere and just leave them there. We can't have them bumping uglies or rubbing against each other or actually communicating face to face. They have to do it all under the protection of the metasphere, where the Borg, Mark Zuckerberg, can monitor the conversations, make sure they're safe and talking safely and using proper safe language, not calling each other male or female or using any lewd language like look at my body parts, that kind of thing, and being judgmental about sex.
Have sim sex as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sim sex.
Oh my goodness, it's such a brave new world. Who knew that that novel was going to come to life so quickly?
We did that novel at college and for English Lit.
Yeah, it's
I thought it was a load of rubbish. I was like, that would never happen.
No, I agree. It's so much closer than ever before. It's crazy.
I think it's actually worse than it was in the book, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in some countries like yours and Australia, it's definitely worse.
Yeah, Australia is definitely worse. They made a post today. I got a few of them. I saw a glimmer of hope in this nurse in Adelaide, Australia.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I downloaded that and put it on my Odyssey.
Oh, did you? Good. Yeah, it's good. It's
few today that I liked off your Faecal Tube.
Good. Yeah, just grab it.
I really like how easy it is to download videos off your site. It's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else you have to go to a third party and put in the thing, and then you have to watch about 5 ads pop up before you can actually grab the video.
And I love the software because it's really fast to upload. Apparently, a lot of people in the UK can't watch the BitChute link. Sometimes I put sometimes it's a marginal clip that I don't feel like putting on FaecalTube because it's fairly marginal. And I link to a couple BitChute links, and UK people get it as hate speech from BitChute. So BitChute's censoring like crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like this one here, Sick or Treat, I called it.
We took a little twist on it.
I don't know where these crazy... Oh, this is probably... Oh, this is The View. This horrible American show.
The booster. We put an actual,
and this wouldn't show up in the UK. It's blocked as hate speech.
She's got her COVID-19 passport in the book there. And she's reminding everybody to go get your boosters.
This reminds me why I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't either, but I would never. I'm out of TV. I don't. This is a daytime women's show mainly. But my point was, I think BitChute is under some kind of European censorship. And I think the...
Yeah, I told you I couldn't upload any of my videos to there. I think I got 2 on there and that was it. They wouldn't let me put any more on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, luckily there's a lot of different sites coming up. Rumble is growing. It's apparently based in Toronto. And they're expanding like crazy. I don't know who's funding that. But again, I'm not on there because when they get too big, they'll decide their business model needs to be changed and they'll start censoring too. Really, in Odyssey and some of these other sites, I find them painfully slow. I don't know exactly what the technology is. They say it's decentralized, and if that's the problem, maybe it is. But I'm really grateful that I've got FakoTube and that I have it's sponsored by Anonymous until May 2022, which is great. And by the way, I always upload the lowest resolution because I really just want the message. So don't look for 1080p on my site. That's not the point. I have the lowest resolution just so you get the idea because I don't have unlimited server space like Google does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as the words are right, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Pictures are not that important.
Yeah, you got it. And I'm uploading, I watch many videos and I only upload the ones I think are really worth your time. Of course, I could upload everything I watch, but I'm trying to maintain a little bit of editorial control. And of course, I only have so much time to review.
Well, that's what I'm doing. And I'm just taking what I want off your site and putting it on my site. So it's even more whittled down in my site.
Yeah. And if you have something that I need to see, because I have my favorite sources as well. This guy on BitChute, Sindori, I find whoever that is, he's mainly... I lift a lot of stuff off his stuff. And there's another guy on BitChute called Earth something newspaper. I think it's Mark Elsis, who actually has been into the truth for a long time. I bumped into him on the Fetzer show. Did you ever listen to Fetzer? Back in the day?
Rings a bell. I tend to get tired of people after a while. And then I move on to someone else.
Yeah, me too. I'm tired of me. I'm tired of listening to me. And
I got a message from Steve at Space Busters yesterday. And
oh, yeah.
He's almost finished his next film. And he reckons it's going to be a doozy. He thinks he might get killed for it.
What?
So that might be one.
Oh, God.
He said he's got some big exposés in it about Fauci and stuff.
He should never talk like that. You should never say, I'm going to release something.
He only told me.
Oh, great. Now the whole world knows. Listen to this show.
Oh, shit. What have I done?
Yeah, what have you done? Well, yeah, I'm just looking at Fetzer's site here, and all his podcasts are not there anymore, which is too bad, because Mark Elsis was one of the better guests on the Fetzer show, and I think he's a Jew exposing the Jewish whatever running the world. That's too bad, because...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, I think I've heard him.
Yeah, he's actually an interesting listen, but...
I have a good friend. I don't know if you've heard of him, Alan Bottle. Mm. He does podcasts.
Sort of.
All about the juice. That's all he talks about is the juice.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Oh, it drives me mad.
Right. If only
about the juice. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things. There's Satanists, that they're the ones that we have to watch out for.
Well, the thing is...
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. There's... Yeah, I don't want to debate it either because I think I've put a couple of pretty good posts on sort of the power structures around the world and... Just one of the easiest ones to understand is, for instance, the bankers, the Christians, and the even the Muslims. They couldn't borrow money. And this whole debt system that we're toiling under is debt-based financing. And they needed the Jews because it wasn't against their religion
It's against their religion to charge interest to other Jews. loans.
Oh, I see.
But they can charge interest to the goyim.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why the Christians and all the other people that wanted money being lent out, that's why they put the Jews in the positions of bankers so they could do it. So it's crazy.
Yeah, but probably the Jews told them that mm-hmm. they weren't allowed to lend money in the first place, that only they were.
Maybe, yeah. Now, I saved a lot of Fetzer audios. I don't know where I got them. I guess I saved them 4 years ago. I'll just play a little bit of Mark Eltis here.
How a government that wants
Let's see if it plays.
Complete,
Oop, wrong one. All Jim Fetzer's old podcasts, they always had the Beatles in them. It drove me nuts. Everyone started off with the Beatles.
Fetching in her bikini.
Ah, yes.
I think she could have retired on the money she was making. Listen, you've got some very interesting productions as Future Generations. I'm very interested in that. The Strawberry Fields. Tell me about some of what you've been doing.
Well, my first film and my only film so far is Strawberry Fields, Keeping the Spirit of John Lennon Alive. And it's,
all right. Well, that's his voice. He's talking about the Beatles, I guess. I'm not interested.
I do recognize his voice. I've looked a lot into the Beatles. Have you heard about Fall?
Oh, yes. I went down those rabbit holes. I had...
Hilarious.
Yeah. Well, since you know just about everything I talk about, what's your take on that? What do you think of the whole Beatles? What were they? What about Paul is dead?
It does make sense. It does make sense that Paul died. Everything fits very nicely, and his face did definitely change.
Yes.
I'm a portrait artist, and I know faces, and face definitely changed.
Sure.
And his voice changed, too.
Why did he have to die, though?
No, he died in a car crash.
But how do you know? But how do we know?
It was in the news. There was a big car crash.
I know, it was in the news, exactly. But this is media fakery. All we do is bust the news all day long, so... how can you just take that as news?
Well, it fits that he died and they replaced him, I'm saying.
I agree he changed. There's no doubt in my mind he changed, but why does the guy have to die? Maybe he just didn't want to do it anymore.
He didn't want to do the Satanism thing that you have to do if you want to be famous, obviously. Okay. I don't think John Lennon wanted to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a bit of a rebel against it, and that's why they killed him in the end.
Mm-hmm. But I just wonder, why do they have to die? Can't they just say, listen, you're fired, Donald Trump? Why do they have to die? I don't get that. Do you think they just get sacrificed on an altar or shot in the head?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's all sacrifice, isn't it? They really love their sacrifices.
But I don't know how much I buy into that. I think it's just easier to say, listen, you're fired. You don't want to do it anymore. And it's a brand. Just because we fire the manager at the local McDonald's doesn't mean McDonald's is over. We just hire somebody else. So I think the music business is just a franchise as well. So if the
He might not have even died, because there was there was one video that I saw when I was looking down that rabbit hole, just for fun, and it was I can't remember the song. It was a Christmas song, and it was all filmed in the farmhouse in Scotland,
right,
where they live. And there was one scene where Paul McCartney's singing like the side of his face.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? Profile. Yeah. You've got the profile of Paul McCartney now singing, and dead Paul McCartney is the other profile.
All right,
and they're both looking at each other.
Oh, nice!
And you can see
where's that video?
It's still on YouTube somewhere.
Okay, well, if you get a link, give it to me. That's pretty cool. Or anyone in the chat wants to send me the link. I do listen. Everyone. everyone that likes music probably goes through a Beatles phase. I went through a Beatles phase. It lasted a couple months. I played all their catalog endlessly. I couldn't believe how great it was. I knew of them, but to go down the music rabbit hole of incessantly playing their music is what I did. And then I played them to death, and now I'm sick of them. So I don't need to listen to Beatles songs much anymore. Although I will go back to the odd one that I really like, but I don't need to play it over and over again anymore. I get it. It was a masterful, massive catalog of amazing songs that there was no great link between them. And it makes me think that it's just like Shakespeare or Mozart. These are brands of the best writers and performers of the day. And I just don't think anyone is that brilliantly creative.
Really?
I really don't know. And a lot of the music is so different. But if you're just a great artist of the day, it's better to sell your wares at Amazon or Walmart, or in this case, sell it at the Beatles store and give it to them.
Yeah. I used to think I wanted to be famous when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely would not want to be famous now. Absolutely not.
Well, probably not. But I think they're brands. Mozart was a brand. It wasn't a genius. The origin story of Mozart was crazy. I interviewed a guy about that, and it made more sense that Mozart was a brand. So just the best artists of the day and the composers were put under the Mozart brand.
It's funny you should talk about brands.
Same with Shakespeare.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about in my new article.
Oh, wow. Are we syncing?
Yeah, we're syncing. We're resonating, man.
I know. I think John LeBond calls these syncs, where you're thinking the same thing I am. But if we're on the same topic all the time, there's a good chance we're going to cross paths. That's just logical.
I've had so many synchronizations this week, though. Mm-hmm. It's been mental. That's why I ended up doing this article, because I've had a few weeks of don't know what to write, haven't got any inspiration, too many things coming at me at once.
Yeah.
And I'd just sort of given up. I was like, I've written it all, can't be asked to write anymore. And then I had all these weird things start happening. First, there was the Florence thing, and I watched the Florence thing, and I did some affirmations.
What's that? What's the Florence thing?
You know the Florence thing that I showed you last time I was on your show?
Okay.
Florence Shin.
I better bring your blog up. Better read it. Oh,
it's
right. The Florence thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That book.
Yeah. The YouTube video.
Right. Okay.
Book. Yeah. So that happened. Then I got an email from a guy called Sol Luckman.
Okay.
And I was like, I've heard that name. Rings a bell. And he just said that he's been a fan of mine for ages. Nice. And could he put my articles on his website? And I was like, of course you can. They're free. Anyone can use them. Do what you like with them. And then after I'd sent that email, I went and looked him up, and I was like, oh, my God, Sol Luckman. I do know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the Kali the Destroyer book.
Okay.
And he's written loads of books about DNA and optimizing your DNA.
Oh, God.
And there's stuff that I've been looking into and trying to find answers to as well. So that made me think. And then Amanda Vollmer posted a post on Facebook.
Okay.
The next day. And it had this Florence Nightingale quote. And for some reason, something clicked in my brain. It just went, and I just knew what I wanted to write. I went, that's it. I'm going to write my article. And I was up all night writing it. And then I went to bed. I thought, I'm not going to publish it yet. I'm going to leave it and then tweak it in the morning. And I thought, I'll get some sleep. And then I went to bed and I couldn't sleep at all night. Oh, there was more stuff just jumping into my brain that I wanted to add onto it and write about. It's mad. I've gone from being completely down in the dumps and can't be asked to do anything, and next thing I want to write like 10 articles.
I think that's how creativity does work.
Yes, it does.
But the beauty of the internet is you can be reading all your normal sources like I do. And then one thing just really resonates with you, and then it sets you off. And there's so much out there to bounce off. It's crazy, I think. I think I think the best thing that I have that I like about the internet is I'll find something I've never seen or someone I've never heard of before, and they make so much sense. And that's why I put it on my blog, so hopefully people like you can read what I think is best. And then you might link to it and look at it. For instance, this guy named Band Hipster, he has a blog. I don't know if you've looked at his stuff.
No.
Let me just bring it up. It's bandhipster.home.blog. And I posted a couple of his really good things on my blog. He's really super smart, smarter than me. And a lot of political stuff, but anytime he crosses over into what we're talking about these days, COVIDs, it really, really, really makes sense. See, he talks about 9/11 truth, race, sex, class, intersectionality, and Gen X, 90s nostalgia. So it's a real potpourri like my blog. But man, there's lots of nonsense to sort through, but man, every now and then he writes a really, really good piece. So you might draw inspiration just by reading that. For instance.
Okay.
And yeah, you may have seen the odd post that I put on my blog, and now you've linked to Saul Luckman, and his blog is snooze2awaken.com.
Uh-huh.
And I do see your...
Oh, he's posted it already.
Yeah, I think this is yours. Take that, Germ Theory, okay. This amazing short text debunks the entire viral foundation propping up the pandemic. I think this is yours, yeah. Kudos to John Blade and Tracy Northern. Yeah, so he's already done it. So now we have another blog to add to our blog roll.
Yeah, he writes some good stuff. And he's an artist. So mm-hmm. He's a bit like, except his stuff's probably better.
No, art is totally subjective. You can't say it's better. It's just different, and someone else might like it.
I did try and wangle a free book out of him, but he didn't bite. He said he would send me a free e-version of Kali the Destroyer.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't read books online because I read enough stuff online and my eyes hurt. I just want to read it in my bed.
Right.
But he didn't say he would send me one. But I also got an email from from my friend James McComiskey, who wrote The Greatest Conspiracy, was it?
Okay.
The Medical Paradigm. And his new book's coming out now, and he's sending me a free copy of his new book. So that's exciting. He was the one that started the whole freedom of information thing. Mm-hmm. In other countries, because Lanka asked people to do it years ago. He had a website called Kleiner Aktion.
Okay.
It was all in German, and James McComiskey can read German. But by the time I got to that website, it was all blank. There was nothing there anymore. But apparently that was what that website was about. It was about getting other people to ask their hospitals and universities for proof of the isolation of viruses. This was way before COVID. So he'd been doing that already when he wrote that book. And there was a lot in it about German new medicine as well, which at the time I was a bit skeptical about, but after reading his book, I looked into it more and again, and then I got it. So it helped with that. But now, you know, everyone's doing the freedom of information requests, but James McComiskey was the first one to do it for COVID.
Okay, well, the best one, the biggest one is fluoridefreepeel.ca, Christine Massey here in the Toronto area.
She does run, but she also collects everybody else's and puts them on there as well. So not all of those are hers.
That's fine.
But yeah,
she's at 131 and counting.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
It just went up by a few today.
See, that's what happens when you focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get good at one thing, then you'll get more exposure, which is great. It's great that she's done that. It's amazing.
But it doesn't seem to be... It's not making any big difference in the world, because they're still selling the idea that... they're just going on... Nobody needs evidence that the virus exists. It doesn't matter at this point. It seems like the world has gone so far away from it.
In the mainstream, that's true. But on the other side, on, you know, normal people talking to each other, everybody's talking about it. Even my friend who I've been trying to persuade for a couple of years that viruses don't exist, she used to laugh at me. She used to take the piss out of me. Mm-hmm. And she's totally on board now. And she's about the most skeptical person I know.
What flipped her? I wonder.
All these other people talking about it apart from me.
Oh, okay.
You know, when they do the speeches at these rallies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of speeches about the virus not existing, and it's crept down to things that she would look at. So she's on board now. She's got it.
Well, that's good.
And my sister, who's a nurse, she's a nurse, so she's working in the medical system.
Mm-hmm.
She gets it.
Well, any nurse that's been fired or has been put out on the street or quasi-fired, they now can speak out, and they can now just discover and spend some time looking into the fraud as well. So I think it's kind of valuable that a lot of these nurses are getting turfed out, because now that they know they don't have a job, or are pretty sure they don't have a job, now they can tell the truth for a while.
Exactly. Well, I've been trying to explain this to her, but she's just afraid she's going to lose her house. She has a mortgage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's bought a house in New Zealand.
But what if you tell her we're all going to lose our houses anyway, even the people with money? Would that make her feel better? She just might be first.
I'm not losing my house.
No, we hope not, and we don't know the exact methodology, but when your property tax quadruples or goes up by 10 times, then we all might just lose it.
Property tax here.
You have no property tax in Ireland?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty handy.
If they do, I've never paid it.
But who pays for the police and the fire and the garbage man in your neighborhood?
I burn my own garbage.
Okay.
We did have a pay-as-you-go system here, mm-hmm. where you have your own bin, but you just buy a little tag down at the shop, and you put your tag on the bin, and you put your bin outside, and they come and take the bin, come and empty the bin. But then they changed it, and they changed it to one where you have to pay on a website or your phone.
Right.
And you have to pay 35 euros a month.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you pay another 5 euros every bin that they empty.
Right.
Well,
like
I
a
was
membership
only
fee.
Filling a bin every 3 months. I don't have much rubbish.
Mm.
So it just didn't pay. And when they finally did when I finally did fill it up, it was a recycling bin, actually. I didn't even have any rubbish. I put the bin out so they could come and take my recycling, and they just went straight past and left it.
Mm.
So I actually got in my car, followed them down the road. I was so pissed off. And I was like, why the fuck did you leave my bin there? Why are you not emptying it?
I can just see it now. You cut them off. You probably wouldn't let them go far further. And you're having this garbage confrontation in the middle of a cobblestone lane in Ireland.
Exactly. And he got on his phone and he was talking to the office bods. And apparently my £35 had run out.
Mm.
And so I didn't have enough money in my account to pick up the rubbish.
I
said, but I've never had any rubbish picked up yet. I've paid €35 and you've not picked up anything from my house. But they wouldn't have it. So in the end, I said, you know what? You can stuff your rubbish collection.
Wow.
So I kept the bin that they gave me. I've got a nice brand new red bin full of recycling.
Red bin, that's for biohazard here. And, put your mask in it.
I just do my recycling myself. I take it down to the dump. And anything else, I burn. I have a big bonfire in the back of the garden every week.
Nice. I don't think we're allowed to have open fires in my suburb, so.
Who says?
It's a bylaw. I don't want a bylaw cop coming over and giving me a corporate ticket.
You live near other people then, right?
I do. I'm not really friendly with my neighbors, so there's a good chance I might have a snitch on the other side of the fence, so. I know that I do have a neighbor like that, actually. He did call the cops on me once, so.
I have a neighbor across the street, and he's lovely, but I hardly ever see them.
Yeah,
but
those are the best neighbors.
They're on the post office, so everybody knows them.
Does he have garbage pickup?
I've never seen them pick the garbage up from this road at all. I don't think anybody does. I think everybody just burns their rubbish around here.
Well, all you have to do is find someone who does have garbage pickup and just drive by and dump your load there. Or go to the park and leave it there. People do that all the time. You don't have to pay. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'd rather just burn it and have a bonfire.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And have marshmallows.
Yeah.
How do we get talking about this? We're supposed to be talking about your article here. Your latest article.
I've been listening to a few of your shows. And you tend to take people on tangents.
Oh, my God, do I ever.
I've heard you do it time and time again. People come on and they want to talk to you about a certain thing, and you just go off on your little tangent.
Oh, I'm horrible at it.
You're gone.
But it is fun.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, I do that because I want to fill up a nice show, and then we just start talking, and it's just a nice conversation. And it's only interesting. Yeah.
My plan originally was to just come on and read my article like I do with Kras Files.
Sure.
And then I've got a video that I can put out so people can listen to my article instead of reading it themselves. Because I get so many people asking me, oh, can you do another audio? I like to listen to it. I don't like to read it. But Kras Files is... He's not, I don't know what he's up to.
Listen, I don't mind being used as an audiobook service. It's fine. Okay, I'll mute my mic.
That's exactly what I was going to do.
I'll mute my mic and I'll just listen because I haven't even read this yet. And I guess I can't interrupt with questions. I'll have to wait. I'll write my questions down till the end.
Yeah, but it's no good now because we've got all this chatter at the beginning that nobody will want to listen to.
Well, how do you know? This might be the best part of the show.
Yeah.
Tracy's garbage. What does she do with it? And how much does it cost?
I love the environmental police turning up on my door.
Yeah, exactly. I hate the garbage service for the same reasons you do, because they'll literally dig through my blue box, which is for recyclables, and they'll take whatever doesn't belong in there, and they'll put a sticky note on it saying, this was wrong sortation. I thought, just the effort that takes, it's crazy stupid. Just burn all of it. All of it. Burn it.
Well, the thing is, I was going to pay these people to take it away, and they're supposed to, like, deal with it environmentally friendlily, except it turned out that they were just taking it and burning it anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So what's the difference if I burn it in my backyard? You know?
Well... you don't have a proper smoke removal system in your backyard.
License. I don't have a license.
Right. Well, all the people with asthma that live around you probably hate you because you're filling the air with smoke.
I don't think they have asthma around here. It's, no? There's too much fresh air. No.
Oh, well, lucky, lucky, lucky. Well, you know, you can start reading the article and you can clip the video. You can edit this video. You can just take out the preamble.
I don't know how to edit videos.
Okay.
I'd say I would make my own videos if I could edit videos, wouldn't I?
Well, maybe someone else could. I don't think it's that hard, though. You just load it into some video processing and you could just clip the beginning and end. I think it's pretty easy. You do it on your phone, too.
I told you the story about my Amino Edge article, didn't I? Mm. Where I had to do like little short clips and send them all to Kraz and him to put them all together. And he put them all together and he did just the sound. He didn't make a video out of it.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
He couldn't get the pictures to line up and whatever it was. And when I listened to it, I realized I'd put one sound file in twice. So I completely repeat a whole paragraph. And it's a long one as well. So it really
did anybody notice?
Probably not, but I do. And it just really annoyed me.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
What, did you listen to it?
Yeah, I've listened to all your Kraz file thingies. Yeah, I did. But the problem is, when I'm listening, I pause things and I'm busy working and jumping in and out. So I might have thought I had rewound it or something.
Yeah, it's a long bit though, so you might not notice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've forgotten everything that I've done today and yesterday. So if I listen to it again, I'll probably be fine. But what's this one about? From a dead nurse on what is disease.
What is disease is basically what it's about. Mm-hmm. Trying to explain what disease actually is. Because we went through all the germs. Germs don't cause disease. Viruses don't exist. Mm-hmm. Contagion is a myth.
Right.
So he was like maybe we should explain what disease actually means. What is it and what does cause it, mm-hmm. and why. So I'd been thinking about that for ages and I couldn't think of a good angle to come at it from, how to explain it. And then when I saw this, I had the two Florence things going on and then I saw this quote and the quote just jumped out at me and I was just like, yeah, that's it. That's what I'll base it on. So basically you see the quote, there are no specific diseases, only specific disease conditions. And when I first heard that, I didn't actually understand completely what it meant until recently. And then it all sort of fell into place. And now I can explain what she means when she says that. And it also explains what diseases are and what they've done, what the, the powers that be, the doctors, the medical profession have done with all the diseases. And that's where the branding comes in.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to read it because I need to just start reading it and then finish and then have a chat afterwards. That's how I would do it.
Sure. Well, we can do it tomorrow if you want. We won't have any conversation. We'll just start it.
Okay.
You want to come back tomorrow as well?
Yeah, I can do.
All right. We'll just keep. We'll be able to. I want to keep talking about this because this is the only conversation that matters right now for the entire world, I think. I don't really want to talk about anything else until people realize what the hell's going on. And then, even then, it'll be a hard...
Then this on Facebook, this memory comes up as well. That was another thing that made things click together. I'd posted 5 years ago that the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. And I was like, oh, that's perfect.
Yes, H.L. Mencken.
And then I'll just read this next bit, just so you can get the whole thing about the branding.
Yes.
I'd liken the named diseases we have now and there are thousands with more being added by the day, to a kind of branding. In marketing, the brand is all important for selling and making big money. Everything has to be branded these days. Once you have a brand, you can market it, produce products for it, then build charities and companies with it to create more income. Then you can target your market and recruit more customers with awareness campaigns and screening. But the jackpot for every brand is its very own patented drug, protocol, procedure or vaccine. So that's where I was coming from with the branding.
Yep, I got it. And who else talks about that? John Rappaport. He said that AIDS was a brand, and it brought under the umbrella 10 or 20 different disease descriptions that were had long names and were just not easily marketable. And it's called the AIDS monolith, he calls it. It's a monolith. Cancer is a monolith.
And it is, yeah.
So I think it's the same concept, and I thought it was brilliant. He's written that many different ways on his blog. His blog repeats a lot, but it's fine.
So he's written it before I did, and I didn't even know it. I thought I'd had a
Well,
brain.
It doesn't matter because everyone has their own style, and yeah. I'm sure you're going to say it in a different way.
Well, I actually do like his style. I've read a lot of his stuff over the years, and I actually like his style a lot.
Well, I thought that was the smartest thing he's written.
Oh, okay.
And Gary Null also explained.
Oh, yeah, Gary Null as well, yeah.
I just typed in a fakeologist AIDS monolith. So Gary Null talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So this is in an audio, though. Fascinating monologue halfway through where Gary explains how AIDS was monolithed. That's what I guess that's my word. Monolithed by Fauci so it could be treated by the world's most toxic drug, AZT.
Yep.
I that's why we call it COVIDs 2.0 because it's AIDS for the whole world instead of just...
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, I did a lot of research into AIDS as well with my cancer research group because it got a bit boring just talking about cancer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to also add in there, you know, British Heart Foundation and the whole AIDS thing as well. So I did do quite a lot of looking into the AIDS thing. It's very interesting. But one of the things that jumped out at me as well when I was doing this article was I found this website about branding,
mm-hmm.
and there was this little thing about brand strategy and what you can do once you've branded, and the number one thing was attract a cult like following.
Absolutely.
That was genius.
Well, you pay for the following. Do you know that when some new products come out? The companies buy actors or street people just to line up to create demand.
Yeah.
Same with clubs, I guess. The club always wants to keep a lineup, and it's usually guys because it's harder to get women, I guess, into the club. But they want the women in the club, and they leave the guys lined up around the block, even if there's room in the club. So you're familiar.
Yeah,
These are all pretty simple techniques.
I've been let into a club just like that, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so you could get in the club, it'd be empty, and you say, well, why is there such a big lineup? But they need the lineup to generate interest because people are such followers. There's been videos on YouTube where people just line up even though they don't even know what they're lining up for. They just line up because they go, oh.
That's how I know that I'm totally not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So if I went somewhere and there was a queue around the street, I'd just turn around and go back home.
I wouldn't stand
in a queue like that. No
well, actually, I had to go to the driver's office today to give in my paperwork for my medical because I drive a commercial vehicle. And the lineup's around the building. I see the lineup all the time because I drive near there every day. So I was wondering, what am I going to do? Because I'm not lining up in there. So I just went up to the front of the line and poked my head in and found an official. He said, listen, I can't wait in this lineup. And the first thing she says is, do you have a mask? I said, no, I don't. So... And she said, I'll take that for you and see if they'll just take it. So So she literally went up to the counter for me. I didn't even have to go in because I wasn't wearing a mask. And she got them to take it. And I said, oh, thank God. I just said a few nice things to her. And I said, I just avoided a two-hour line.
Say cool stuff happens when you don't conform.
Yeah.
I've been, where was I? I was going to see the Pogues one night.
Mm-hmm.
It was just on the off chance that we would get in. And there was a massive queue. And I was like, no, I'm not waiting in the queue. And I was with my daughter. And we saw a friend of hers come out the side door. Mm-hmm. So she just went over and shouted him and said, told him that we were here. And then he just went in and got the band, the leader of the band that was supporting the Pogues,
right,
to come out and give passes. So we just went in the side door and that was it. But I know I would never wait in a queue to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't even have, like paying for tickets. I'd rather just lig in the side door.
You are a cheapskate.
Yes, I am.
You are cheap. Well, maybe you're on a fixed income or something. I don't mind paying for stuff. As long as I don't mind other people paying for things because they help support the people that can't pay for things. And of course, that's sort of the model of my blog, fakeologist.com/donate. If you can donate, we'll take your money, especially if you really want to help out. And all audios here and videos are free because I don't think truth should cost money. But on the other hand, if someone can help support it and they have the ability, then that's great too. So anyone that donates to this site is helping make it freely available to everyone. And there are no paywalls on this site. I don't like paywalls. It makes it even harder to download. So everything is wide open here. All thanks to all these generous people at fakeologist.com/donate/donors. And there are a lot of people, and I took a picture of the moolah of the Benjamins and the Jacksons and the Abe Lincolns. I don't care what you send to me. And I take pictures. This is photographic evidence. And I do pay tax on this because I guess it's income. So don't think I'm not paying tax. I wouldn't list all these dollar figures if I didn't pay tax. So if Revenue Canada cares, I do pay tax on it. It does go into my general income. But
I don't want to pay taxes either.
I don't want to either, but thank you. Look at all these people. They're so generous.
Yeah, I don't mind paying the little guy. Like if it was a little gig in a pub, I would not mind paying for that.
Yeah.
It's the big gigs I'm talking about, the mega rich pop stars and all that. There's no way I would pay them to go see them. No, I don't mind the little guys getting paid.
Yeah, I'm just looking on John Rappaport's blog. I didn't think I linked to the best link, but the AIDS monolith is the absolute best article. I was just trying. There's at least 20 diseases that he listed that.
Mm-hmm.
And the polio is another brand, actually. It's another,
oh God, yeah.
It's another monolith.
Polio's massive. That's what I was going to, maybe I should add that to my article, but I've already done an article on polio years ago, my ALS challenge, the ice bucket challenge. I wrote an article called something about whatever happened to polio. Yeah, there's loads of diseases now that are actually the same, exactly the same thing, but they won't call it polio. ALS,
yes.
Gehrig.
Yes, yes. Here's, do you know Dr. T.C. Fry, I think.
Oh, God, yeah. He's brilliant.
Do you want to listen? Here's a three-minute clip describing it. Maybe this, I don't remember this one, but let me play it.
If you know the history of the Centers for Disease Control and its propensity for...
It's only in one of my ears. It seems to be in the left channel. I don't know why, but can you hear it okay?
Yeah.
Launching these phony disease scares, taking other diseases that's already existed. For instance, polio was, before the onset of polio, was called infantile paralysis.
Right.
It was called viral meningitis, aseptic meningitis, and it was Coxhatch's disease, and a lot of other them thrown together, and they were included under the polio banner. In 1955, on May the 12th, there was introduced the SALT vaccine. What most people don't know that was simultaneous with the introduction of the vaccine, the Centers for Disease Control introduced new guidelines for physician diagnosis of polio. Henceforth, the symptoms of polio were only paralysis, and it had to be in evidence 60 days before they could call it polio. So that effectively wiped out polio, even if they hadn't had a vaccine, because when by the new guidelines, there was only a few hundred cases a year of polio instead of 50 or 60,000. And the what they call polio before that, that is aseptic meningitis and the other diseases, were reverted to the old diagnoses.
So they redefine and therefore eliminate and manipulate.
That's correct. That's what Centers for Disease Control do. They brainwash us. They get us all in a dither through the press. They create a real hysteria and a panic. And everybody is afraid their children are going to get paralysis and everything. And they, when the polio vaccines came out, they rushed to get their children vaccinated and protected. But something they don't tell you, that the rate of polio went up about three or four times after the introduction of the disease, but was diagnosed under the other symptoms to which it reverted. And the, of course, the paralysis was more, but still only a few hundred cases a year. Hmm. So that, but the whole idea was to establish a basis for selling you a polio vaccine from here to hereafter. Now, the salt vaccine is very deadly. It killed more people. It killed more children than the swine flu vaccine. But they had that one under control. It didn't get out of hand. But lots of children were killed by the salt vaccine, so they quietly discontinued it and substituted what they call the Sabin oral vaccine. See, they don't care what they sell. Selling is the name of the game. And, of course, it does not prevent any of the symptoms called polio if you take into consideration that aseptic meningitis and other designations were what they were calling polio.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that interview quite a lot of times, but every time I listen to it, I hear something new.
Mm-hmm.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, and you got to concentrate when he's talking, because I can see how the average person would get nothing out of that.
Yeah, the genius that happened with the polio as well, mm-hmm, was after the jab came out, they made meningitis like a brand new disease again.
Oh, right.
The polio jab was giving kids meningitis, and then there was the massive meningitis scare, and they made out it was a brand new disease, but it'd been around since before. It was part of the polio diagnosis originally.
Yeah.
So then they brought out a vaccine for meningitis. They've got two vaccines for meningitis now, meningitis A and meningitis B.
Yeah,
we
got to be careful saying it gave them meningitis. We have to. Do you think we should modify our language a bit to say
it caused the symptoms?
Yeah.
Of what they call meningitis is basically what it was.
Because it's
it
a poison.
The nerves in the spine.
It's a poison. So they give a.
Yeah.
So they inject a poison, and they always use the excuse that we need to provoke the body's immune system.
Uh-huh.
So it's the provocation that they say is required, but it's the provocation, uh-huh, which is the poison. So the poison is the provocateur, and that causes...
Yeah, adjuvant is just a poison. That's all it is.
Yes. And that is what the body responds to and has to deal with. So the body is trying to eliminate the poison. And in doing so, I guess the poison settles in certain areas, including nerve sheaths, the insulation of the nerves.
Myelin sheath. I think it just damages the myelin sheath,
sure,
is what happens.
And then you get short circuiting.
I don't think the poison stays there. I think, mm-hmm, what happens, it's just so toxic
It destroys the myelin sheath. It destroys it.
The myelin sheath, yeah.
So then scar and tissue is built up in the same area, and it doesn't work as well.
There's waste products everywhere from the dead cells and stuff. There's all sorts of things going on then. And when the body starts trying to clean up the waste products, which are also very toxic, it's just a ongoing thing. They call it autoimmune disease when the body's trying to clean up the mess.
Yes.
That the toxic load's left, which is also very toxic. That again is going to give you more symptoms because it's a messy job and it's going to be painful. But they call that process autoimmune disease, and they say your body's attacking your cells are attacking your own body, which doesn't make any sense. Your body would not do that. The body's much more intelligent than that.
Yes,
no way it would attack healthy tissues. It's trying to clean up dead and toxic tissues is what it's doing.
My personal story with my daughter is, of course, type 1 diabetes. Has any of your research found out whether type 1 diabetes was a big deal before mass vaccination? Because I am convinced, even if it's my own psychosis, that it is a vaccine injury, a childhood vaccine injury.
It's definitely a vaccine injury, but I would get another a second opinion because they're often diagnosing things that don't exist just to sell products, and insulin is a genetically modified product as well, so it's not going to do her any favors
in the long term, but it saves her life on a daily basis. There's no doubt about that for me. It keeps her alive.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, because if she doesn't take it, she'll go into DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, which of course is what happened. She was diagnosed, I don't know if you know the story, but she was diagnosed, she's coming up to her 1 year diversary, that's what they call it, and she was basically in the end stages of complete and utter shutdown a year ago. And her sugar was off the charts. So it's it was
insane. I personally don't trust anything doctors say, and they always say that you're going to die if you don't do this, that, and the other. And they always say that they've saved your life because you were going to die. They did it to my daughter a couple of years ago. She was raving that they told her she was almost dead.
Well, I was a witness to the almost dead, so I didn't need a doctor to tell me that. Whatever was happening really quickly, and she definitely.
Have you been to any naturopaths?
No. But don't forget, it's not my body. I can only make recommendations at this point. So we're busy injecting our brains out.
I would go to a naturopath next.
Yeah, I would too, and I've recommended it. But my main question, of course, was what was the incidence of type 1, if it was even something they could even diagnose?
I don't actually know, to be honest. I don't actually know. I do know that quite a long time ago I read that type 1 diabetes was vaccine damage.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So I would imagine that it hasn't been around for more than 100 years.
Yeah. When did mass vaccination really kick in? Was it the Spanish flu era,
smallpox.
World War One?
No, smallpox in the 1800s.
The late 1800s.
No, it was about the middle, I think.
And was it was called inoculation back then. And then it got a bad name, and they had to rebrand it, talking about branding again.
Yeah, because then there was the original smallpox inoculation, and then Jenner's new vaccine for smallpox. Yeah, so it was all changed in the middle of the smallpox debacle, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it got a bad name, so they rebranded. It was the exact, pretty much the exact same thing. Well, first he ran it through horses, and then that didn't work. It was worse for whatever it was doing to people. So then he went back.
No, he didn't run anything through horses. He just took the I don't know what it is. They call it horse grease.
Right.
It's something from around the hoofs of a horse.
No, I thought he injected the smallpox into the horse and then drew the serum out of the horse and sold that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Something
what he
like
did
that.
With the horse.
And that was that caused weird. A much more deadly reaction. So he said, "I'll forget it. We'll just go back to taking the cow pus and selling that." See.
Well, the horse grease came before the cow pus.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. It was.
Well, maybe you're right. I thought they started off with one, then went to the horse. That was a failure. So they quickly went back, rebranded, and then went and then called it vaccination after basically naming it after the Latin word for cow.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. But I'm just curious if there was. If there was dead pancreases 100 years ago or before,
well, I would guess no.
Or if they didn't even know about it, or they didn't know what was happening, or they couldn't even measure.
I would say it's definitely not been around before vaccines were invented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and it's a very, very profitable. Well, if you go to the diabetic website and look under what causes it, like most major monolithic disease, the answer is unknown, maybe genetic. And we'll put millions of dollars into genetic research, which of course is just a black hole. They know the answer isn't there. They know it as they know they'll never get caught because they'll never find an answer looking down the wrong pathway.
Yeah, somebody's saying that type 1's irreversible, but I've heard of people curing themselves of type 1.
Well, if you destroy an organ in your body, I know the liver can somewhat regenerate, we're told, but I don't know about the pancreas.
Why would one organ of your body be able to heal itself and another organ not be able to heal itself? It makes no sense. They used to say that our teeth don't re-enamel, and that was a lie.
Mm.
Your teeth can re-enamel and can heal. So I would say everything can heal itself. You just have to give it the right the right ingredients, the rest, the diet, whatever it takes to get you healed, basically.
Well,
it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be pretty, probably, but can't be better than, it's got to be better than putting that GMO stuff injected into you every day.
I don't even know what it is. Honestly, I looked it up one time, but I didn't really get a satisfactory answer, but I do know that they are manipulating the price of it. I can't remember. I think the guy that found it, discovered insulin, he didn't patent it or something because he wanted it to be free. And then, of course, now it costs a small fortune. And I don't know. I think originally it was made from animal pancreases ground up. It doesn't really make sense, the story, and now it's artificially made. But I haven't had a chance to look it up again. Because I'm not even sure I believe the story. I don't know what the hell it is.
No, I don't believe hardly anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, we've been going for about an hour, and I usually do about an hour on a school night. I'm trying to find
you. Come back and read my blurb tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah. We won't talk about garbage or anything else.
Well, you can talk about the garbage afterwards.
Yeah. Well, we've done garbage. We've done garbage. But what we'll do is you'll read it.
No, always more garbage to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you're talking about someone who researches as long and wide as you have, I'm sure we could talk forever, and everyone likes to hear from you. So if I can...
I'm thinking of changing the name of the article. I don't think I like the name. I wanted to say, like, interview the dead nurse or something to do with a nurse, because I thought that would be good clickbait. But I really don't like it. I might change it.
I'll try and help you, because one of the things I think I'm pretty good at is titling articles. I'm like an editor. I like to just boil it down to something attractive and getting people in.
Great. I'm usually good at thinking up titles, but I'm just a bit stumped this time.
Well, maybe you're too invested in it because you wrote it. I can try and make clickbait out of things I read. And sometimes I'm too lazy. I'll just use the person's, the one they created, or I'll make it a little more interesting. Sometimes.
Something about disease being a brand, something about that. But if it has nurse in it, that would also be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't like it.
But there's no doubt that they've marketed the common cold. They said they wanted to do that. They wanted to market and cure the common cold.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for donkey's years.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely donkey's years. So now they had to make it into a deadly disease so they can get money to jab us all, basically.
Yeah, they have to add this little part where they're trying to kill us. That's the real thing that really gets under my skin. This idea that they want to kill us, this is really bothering me. It's not bothering enough people, though, don't you think? Especially with their children.
Yeah. Well, they've been killing us for a long time. But it doesn't happen often and quick enough for people to really notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just gets swept under the rug. So it needs to happen on a massive scale so that everybody sits up and goes, hang on a minute, they're actually killing us. Which just might happen this time. I don't know. I still don't think enough people are dying quick enough for it to happen.
Well, like, I don't know if they're deliberately trying to target young men with this myocarditis. They're the ones that seem to get it the most.
I think a lot of it is accidental. I think they just don't know what they're doing half the time. It's just a stab in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Who knows what goes in their mad minds? They're all mad.
With every single doctor that I speak to...
Let me play this video just real quick. I don't know. Let me see if you've seen this one.
Repurpose drugs together. So
I'm going to put this in the view for you to look at.
That you are suddenly using for COVID, or have you taken a combination of already existing drugs to manage your patients?
Do you know who this person is?
Nasiba, I think it's, I do
Eva sent me
a combination of drugs with pharmaceuticals to manage these patients. There's a lot going on.
Something new. My question is, did you have to wait for some new thing? They said new virus. Was there a new drug that you waited for, or was it just existing drugs?
Existing. Look, I think the perspective around what's happening is vitally important. We need to understand what the aim is. Everyone knows that there's inconsistencies, that there's fear-mongering, that there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body.
Yeah. Do you subscribe at all to the spike protein, or is he just off?
No.
No. This is all nonsense, eh? Yeah. I was just wondering if I could get anything good out of this.
They've been making proteins for a long time, synthetic proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no doubt that they have a spike protein in the lab,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that they can make our cells produce a synthetic protein.
Right.
It's like asking a human to produce a robot baby.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work. It can't work.
Right. So they have no ability. The only ability they have is to poison us. That's it.
Yeah, I think the spike protein is probably poisonous, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. It could be arsenic.
But they're saying that it isn't in the vaccine. It's mRNA in the vaccine. But no one's actually taken one of these vials and actually found out what actually is in them.
Mm-hmm.
All we're getting is these videos about graphene and squids and rubbish like that. I want to know what the actual ingredients are.
Well, that's patented. You're not going to get to find out, because if they let you know, then someone in a faraway land would be able to copy it and sell it for half price. That's their excuse.
Yeah. And how are you supposed to know if you're going to be allergic to whatever they want to inject into you if they don't tell you what they're going to inject into you?
Well, you just have to wait for the first shot, and then we'll know you're allergic to it. And then you won't have to get a second shot.
I won't have to get a second shot because I'll be dead.
Right? You'll be very sick. But what if they're just injecting something like arsenic into people?
That would be too easy to spot, you see.
Oh, okay.
We've got tests that will show up arsenic and all the well-known poisons. So they have to find new poisons that nobody can find or test for.
Right. Mm. Okay. So, yeah, maybe they have distilled some brand new distillation of some existing poison, and they're just putting that in.
I think they've run out of poisons, probably. There's not that many poisons on the planet, and I think they've used them all. So they're making synthetic poisons now, poison proteins.
DB user says, by the way, all the comments are coming through twice on the screen. I don't know why. Obviously a bug. DB user says, spike protein to spike someone's drink is to poison it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I know, they keep leaving all these little clues everywhere. They're basically telling us what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, anyone with a brain can read the clues and see what they're up to.
Well, the problem with us awake people is we've all identified ourselves now, because we're all out there trying to figure it out, trying to see if there's other awake people. So now they have separated the herd quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not sure is a great thing for all of us awake people, and I hope your friend Spacebusters is safe. A little tip for anyone who's going to be a whistleblower and has something exclusive: don't pre-announce you're going to be a whistleblower. Just do it. He's already put out lots of great stuff.
He's not scared. He's not scared that people won't watch his videos.
That's true, yeah. He almost seems too polished and professional. And I get suspicious of videos that are so polished and professional. He does such a great job.
I just think it's his voice. He just has the voice for radio.
Yeah.
Very good voice.
But he does good videos. The quality's really good. And that's why I thought, oh my goodness, this is just too good. Is this an insider just leaking out misinformation?
No, he's definitely not an insider.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've got to know him quite well.
Oh, okay. But he's a space buster, though.
They started off doing the space stuff.
Oh, okay.
They've branched out into other things now.
Has he done any interviews? Because he would be an interesting person to talk to.
I was just thinking that, you know. I was just thinking, would you like me to ask him to come on your show? I don't know. I don't know if he'd do interviews. I could ask him for you if you like.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Especially if he hasn't done other interviews, because I don't necessarily need to interview anyone that's been interviewed all over the place. There's some people that have done so many interviews, I just listen to them and then I have no more questions. So
exactly. You can only listen to the same people do the interviews like so many times.
Yeah.
And you've heard it before, haven't you?
But although some people ask better questions than others, I listened to the Crow interview with the guy that did the book.
I know, I heard you talking about it. That was hilarious.
Yeah, and I listened to the first hour, and he didn't ask any questions really about the book. Yeah. It was frustrating. But then the guy was, you heard me, and I thought, I'm not sure if I trust this guy because he's sort of talking a lot of mainstream stuff that you certainly have thrown out.
Maybe he just got really excited to be talking to him.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. Maybe no one interviews the guy.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, all the shows with you go by real fast. We didn't run out of one thing to talk about, so this has been great. And we'll reconvene tomorrow, and we'll just let you talk. I hope I didn't interrupt you too many times.
No, it was fine. I just decided I wasn't going to read the thing tonight.
Sure.
I'd rather do it first.
Sure.
If you know what.
So you might want, maybe you're going to even edit it a bit, or no?
I can't do editing. If I want editing doing, I'll have to ask someone like you to do it for me.
No, but you were going to add the polio into it, maybe.
Oh, no, I'm not going to add the polio because I've done it before. I've done a whole article on polio. I think I'll put the link to the polio at the bottom. That's what I'll do.
Amazing. Well, you're doing great work. And I think it was Amanda who tipped me off to you. Pretty sure it was her.
Amanda, bless her.
Yeah, some people are giving her a hard time for being a flat earther, just putting a lot of flat earth in there. I don't know. Do you have an opinion on the shape of the earth before you go? Or would that...
I'd never talk about it. I'm convinced it's not a ball, put it that way, because they've told us it's not a ball. They've told us it's pear-shaped. And the pictures are a ball. So something is definitely not right.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. I'm a ball earth skeptic.
That's me too.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I really would love to know, why is it such a big secret? Why can't we know? That is the biggest question.
Why does the United Nations have a flat earth map as their logo?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Why isn't anyone allowed to go to the Antarctic?
Well, maybe it's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's not there, but I still want to know, what is the big deal? What is the secret? I can't even wrap my head around why it would be a secret. Why are they worried that if there's more to it, we'll escape? We'll try and get off?
No, it's not that. It's to do with control. It's all to do with control. Making us feel helpless and like we're just a speck in the universe and we're not important.
Right, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
If this place is a creation and has a creator and we are meant to be here, that makes us special.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just a speck of dust in the universe. There's a reason to be here.
So if we all knew we were special, we would act differently? We wouldn't shoot each other, maybe?
Well, we wouldn't be so scared of the powers that be, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And if this is it, and there's nowhere else to go, there's no space, we can't get to the moon, we're never going to Mars, there's nowhere else to go, maybe would that make us value this? I see, I don't even understand their ideas about that. What is the problem? Why can't we know?
No, there was another video, I can't remember who did it, really interesting about this. There's this clock in somewhere in Poland or one of those countries. It's a really weird clock and it has lots of different dials. And nobody really understood what it was about. And this guy worked it out that the bit that they show us on the flat earth maps, mm-hmm. with all the countries that we know of, is only a tiny part of the whole realm. And it's much, much bigger. And there's like that bird guy said, there was loads of other continents beyond the Antarctic.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does the sun and moon go around like in one spot, but the whole thing moves around like a big clock.
Mm-hmm.
So what it explained, this clock explains that at the moment the sun and moon are around this area, but they will eventually move to another, across to another area.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what the whole global cooling and global warming's about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing is actually shifting. And the ball earth people call it a pole shift.
Mm.
But it's actually just the whole realm is shifting. Maybe when we've messed up one area of the realm, we get to go off in ships and do it again on another bit. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all fun looking at it and reading about it, though.
Yeah, but if we can make an iPhone, we surely can handle knowing where we are or if we have to move to another pizza plate down the road.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. If we can invent something that flies through the air, I still think the airplane's one of the greatest inventions ever. It's just so amazing. And of course, that's why we're not allowed to use them. They don't want us using them anymore. They want to get rid of them, and they want us all to be locked up and not fly around. But
maybe some of these pilots will get it into their heads that they can go beyond the Antarctic to the other bits of the realm.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a guy that starts in, say, Sydney, which I guess is the biggest airport closest to Antarctica. Maybe one day he'll get a super transatlantic or across the world flight. What is the longest flight from Sydney? And maybe he'll just say, forget it. I'm just going to go over the South Pole and see what's going on there. It would be a risk because if he ran out of gas, it would be a problem. And that would be my biggest worry, running out of gas wherever I'm going.
It would be the shortest route, though, if it's a ball.
Oh, I agree. But say he started flying and he never got to go over the pole because it's not there. So maybe he would be heading into another realm. And then, of course, it would be extremely risky because you'd have to get to a point where, okay, where do I turn around? Because I got to get back to the gas station. Otherwise, we're going to crash. I mean, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he'd be fired and all that. He loses.
Did they ever find that Scott guy's body, the one that got lost in Antarctica?
I don't know. I have no idea. Are you talking about the guy that took 33 days to walk across or something?
No, you know, the famous one, Scott, he got lost in Antarctica. He died there, I suppose. He got frostbite, so he just walked out of his tent and went out to die on his own. But what if he didn't? What if he walked over the mountain and found a big green forest there or something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure there is an Antarctica to go to.
Sturgis Studios 10.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that might be what I'm talking about. I can't remember what it was, but it was very interesting. And the clock does exist. And it does seem to show the time scale moving out of this realm into another realm. It's like the astrology, but on a bigger scale.
Well, if anyone has a link to it, send it, and I'll put it in the show notes, and I can, if anyone's interested.
I wouldn't mind watching that again. I've forgotten.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you find it, just give me the link. I'll put it in the show notes. Okay, well, we better end this, because we'll never stop talking.
Okay, go away. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow. All the best.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. And then thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget. You can donate if you want, or leave a message, send an email, go to Tracy's blog, put a comment on her blog. Everyone likes encouragement. Put a comment on her blog. It's a long number after the word Northern Tracy, so just go to my blog And I've got the link to it. Actually, I'm just posting her latest post on my blog, and then you'll see her link as well, but I'll link to it. So go to her blog too. All right. All the best and see you all tomorrow. Good show.